Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. What you have time frame? Is how long do we go? Including questions, okay. Very good. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 12, text 2. Kindly repeat. Let's see here. Dvara amaya artasya yatagadam sat nidagha dagdhasya yata himambaha kureha manahi vidashta Drishte Brahman Vachas Te Amritam Ausadam Me. Let's see if I get this together. Dvara Martasya Yatagadam Sat. Nidagda dagdasya yata himamba kudehamani manahi vidasta drishte brahman vachaste mritam asau dame. Dvara mayartasya yata gadam sat nidagta dagtasya yata himamba kudehamana hi vidasta drishte brahman vachas. Brahman vachas te mritam osadam me. Dvarama yartasya yata gadam sat. Nidagda dagdasya yata himamba. Kudehana manahi vidasta drishte. Brahman vachas te mritam osadam me. Ladies. Tvara of a fever, amaya, by the disease, artasya, of a distressed person, yata, just as, agadam, the medicine, sat, right, nidagdasya, of one scorched by the heat of the sun, yata, just as, himaamba, very cold water, kudeha, in this body made of matter, and full of dirty things, such as stool and urine. Mana of pride. Ahi, by the serpent. Vidashtam, bitten. Drishte, of one whose vision. Brahman, O best of the Brahmanas. Vacha, words, te, your, amritam, nectar, ausadam, medicine, me, for me. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with dirty things, and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Due to my material conception, I am diseased. Your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine for one suffering from such a fever, and the cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. Purport. The conditioned soul has a body full of dirty things, bones, blood, urine, stool, and so forth. Nonetheless, the most intelligent men in this material world think they are this combination of blood, bone, urine, and stool. If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made with these ingredients, which are so readily available? The entire world is going on under the bodily conception and creating a hellish condition unfit for any gentleman's living. The instructions given to King Rahugana by Yad Bharat are very valuable. They are like the medicine that can save one from a snake bite. The Vedic instructions are like nectar and cool water for one suffering from scorching heat. Omagana timranda shagana gana salakya shakshurun mulitan yanatasmai shri guruve namaha nama om vishnu praya krishna prishna bhutale shri mate bhakti vedanta swantanamana Namaste sarasati deve gauravani pracharne nivisesa sunyavadi paskachari satarine. So the verse was dvara mayartasya yata gadam sat nidagda dagdasya yata himambam kudeha manahi vidasta drishte brahman vachaste mritam asodame. O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with dirty things, and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Due to my material conception, I am diseased. Your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine for one suffering from such a fever, and they are cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. So the king has been enlightened. So if you have a dark place, you don't see what's there. So you think everything is fine. But then you put on the light, the torch light, and then you see all the dirt. Then you see the dust and the whatever, what is hiding in the corners, the mold, the rats, all kind of things. In the absence of light, you know, looks okay. That's why maybe on the pubs, bars, similar places, they have like a little bit dim light. Because with full light on, you would see how ugly the ladies were. Of course they were beautiful. Of course. That's my impression. So when you put on the light, then you see the dirt. In the ignorance, you don't see the dirt. So now he is enlightened. And in the light of the good instructions, he can properly understand, better understand himself, and he perceives, yes, his body, what is it? Filled with dirty things. And there, I think the word to word in the Prabhupada says, like, stool, urine, bones, muscles. I guess we, you know, the skin is okay. We take away the, but if you have blood on something, then it becomes contaminated. If there's stool, urine, he said it's contaminated, I don't know, bones, stated it's impure, besides, what was it, the conchal. The conchal is, even though it's a bone of animal, is pure. And the stool is impure besides cow dung, we learned. But here's the point, he's being enlightened, so he realized, yes, you know, his body is full of dirty things. And then, but then maybe more important is, my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. So that you well, okay, yes, the body is dirty, but the worst is that our mind is dirty. Our heart is dirty. It's filled with garbage. Here it is, speaking pride, envy, I don't know, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. These are the enemies of our spiritual progress. Kam, krodh, lobh is mentioned in the what? In the Bhagavad Gita, that is the gateways to hell. You have to get out of these gateways. Don't look at them. Well, looks. The gates looks really nice, nicely decorated. They're promising a lot. Come, last. Let's love each other forever. When the love we perceive, we say it is a lust, because we shouldn't be so negative. Maybe the final sentiments of affection, Prabhupada has mentioned that also in a purport. Kunti Devi says, you know, please cut my ties of affection to my relatives. Then Prabhupada says, well, the final sentiments of affection should not be given up, but then the final sentiment of affection should be like repose to given to the Lord and his devotees. So there's lust. So we may look, that is glorified in this world and is putting up nice things, you know. Just love each other and be happy. We know that it's a bait on a hook. You get hooked and you get pulled down. Lust, anger, no, kam, krodh, lobh. Then there's anger, let's get angry. We have to protest. You know, we have to protest against all these evil things. So you have to be angry, okay? That's basically what it means. But then you can protest, but then the question is whether anything really changed. Because also come the new rulers usually imbibe the qualities of the old ones, whether they like it or not. Because when someone said, when you fight the evil, you become evil. if I'm constantly meditate on how bad a Nazis, or about why maybe contemplate maybe thinking that how bad the Jewish are. Well, in any case, you're contemplating and you're absorbing the quality, or whatever the financial, you know, this or that. So in that way, you can actually absorb, you know, being angry and fighting may or may not really bring about the peace that you want. Then, kam, krod, lob, then greed. Well, that's also in the modern society, the gateways. It says greed. No, economic development. You know, in Sweden at least, the poor pensioners, they're not going to have any money more because they all gamble away on the stock market. You know, you should be active and putting your earnings and savings for your old age in, you know, this fund and that fund, and then the funds are collapsing. But they're putting like, you know, now you'll get more money. Greed. We end up with less money, at least less peace of mind. So this is dirty things. Kam, krod, lob. That, you know, we external, the blood and the stool and the urine, well, at least it's touchable and recognizable here, it's there. But these other things, they're very dangerous because they look at something nice many times. Oh, he's making so much money. Yeah, well, it's good, you can give it for Krishna and serve. But greed as such is not a quality that is helpful for a progressive spiritual life. So we should not. We should be greedy for spiritual life, greedy for Krishna consciousness. Instead, we are greedy for whatever. We need more money, you know, big things, or it should look good. Okay, greed. Then the next three things: moha, mada, matsarya. How's that? Moha. I think that's illusion. Well, can't think we are illusion. We're thinking we are this body. We're thinking we're great, we're small, even I'm a great devotee. We may be in whatever, you know, there's maybe an inherent function us that tells that you have to become great, or you are great, or, you know, there's everyone, most, I hope, or maybe it is like that everyone in some way thinks that there is something good about them, okay? And there is something good about everyone, because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, eternal servant of the Lord. So that is, and there is certainly, everyone has all kind of qualities. And if the qualities are used in the service of the Lord, these qualities becomes good. But if not used in the service of the Lord, they're not good. Okay. But we like to, but otherwise when we're, say, in illusion, think of self being something we are not, we say that's the contamination. The moha mada, the madness, he said, is another madness. Of course, here Prabhupada indicated a little bit in the purport, the madness of the modern world. Do what it says. Well, nonetheless, okay, the conditioned souls has a body full of dirty things, bones, blood, urine stolen, and stool, and so forth, as Prabhupada says. Nonetheless, the most intelligent man in this material world think there are this combination of blood, bone, urine, and stool. So it's at least intelligent man, so-called intelligent, as a so-called, or was considered intelligent man of the modern society, still have a material concept. Yes, we are this body and mind, intelligence. So then Prabhupada put the question, it's a small thing. If this is so, why can't other intelligent man be made with these ingredients which are so readily available? So then he says, why, you know, I mean, a little bit attacking the modern concept of somehow or another you're going to create life. So, you know, there's all the ingredients, so why don't you now then create another intelligent man? So we say, that's a little bit mad. They're in a madness of trying to deny the reality of the spiritual existence. And thus we say, they're an illusion. It's ignorance, even though it may look very nice. Because, I don't know, madness, some kind of madness. Madness. And then finally, here we have to Moha, mata, matsarya, envy, and that's maybe the worst thing of all. I can't take it. Why is he? Why is he wearing the garland? Why not me? Why is he giving my seat? Well, you know. Well, in any case, we have to be enlightened. we have to keep the spotlight, the light on the mind, and you know, seeing, hey, what's going on. Now we think, well, you know, I'm great, I'm this and that, and why am I not giving more appreciation, attention, you know, and like that. We can say that's envy in some way. So then we have to catch ourselves, we have to be enlightened, we have to be in light, so we see this is going on. And the good thing is then, that when you see, first of all, if you want to be cured of your disease, first of all, there has to be a proper diagnosis. So if the proper diagnosis is made, then you can be cured. But if you don't know what the disease is, then you know, I have a problem. I have a tooth here. I can't drink this water now because here I have to pour it in and then it kind of goes around the mouth and it gives pain to my tooth. The problem is, I went to the dentist and they couldn't find what was the problem. So now they have a problem, but I don't know where really the problem sits. So then you kind of fumble around trying to do something, you know. Okay, so in that way, there needs to be a proper diagnosis, and when there's a proper diagnosis, so when you're aware, oh yes, then you can take proper action to counter the discrepancy like that. So therefore, in one way, so when we recognize these things in our heart, okay, at least they'll recognize. They say the Alcoholic Anonymous, they say what you can name, you can tame. So you put a name on it, you recognize its existence, and then also recognize that actually it's not you. I mean, this body is not me. But this mind is not really me either, okay? But as some we are manifesting through this, we are manifesting our consciousness, awareness through this body and mind. And then of course intelligence, that's a hard one. I'm not intelligence either. I mean, Krishna says, Bhumirapanalavayakam Manubhuri Devasha Ahankara iti ame bina prakriti rastada. He says, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then mind, intelligence, false ego. This is my eight separated material ingredients. And then he said, next to this there's a soul. In the next verse, and there's a soul who's like struggling with the material energy, trying to enjoy the world. So we're not even the mind, we're not even the intelligence, but the soul has some intelligence, and that is like a challenge, you know. So then what am I actually? Because it feels really real. I'm sitting here now, and you're all looking, not you're not all looking at me, but you're all listening at me at least. So that's it's a real experience, but still, there's a body, and there's, we can say, the dress, and there's a body, because that's in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives different way of describing the soul and the transmigration. Deyanosmi yatadehe. So is that from the childhood to youth to old age to... We transform, and then at the time of death we are, you know, going into another body. And then the body is compared with a dress also. So we can say, well, I'm wearing this dress today, this life or this period. But the dress is not you. But it's something dressed, we dress. Well, yesterday when we won Harinam in town, then it started to rain. Then I put up my poncho, rain poncho. But so according to time, place, you may change the dress a little bit. But remember, you're not the dress. And we're not the position either. But maybe we have a position, but we are not the position, we are not the dress. We own the body. And of course, our mind now may be very highly sharp, but we can get some kind of Alzheimer and all kind of things happens, and you know the mental activities is reduced. So in that way, the question is then, what are we? Eternal servant, servant of Krishna, and we are conscious, eternal servants of Krishna, and our nature is to be conscious, and we are as conscious, to be conscious. So what does that mean? Well, one thing is, if you're conscious, if you're a person, you're conscious. That's my take on it. You know, something that's not conscious, this is not a person, it's an item, but we don't understand it to have a consciousness in that sense itself. But if there were walking an ant here, I don't know, maybe there's some ants here, but in any case, the ant has consciousness and moves to where, to find out where is the food. Or the fly, or the mosquito, you know, where is some blood? This one smells nice. Let's have a nice bite. So there is, when there is a personality, there's consciousness and there's a personality. So we are conscious and thus we are persons. Eternal, we are personal. Of course, we can enter into a state of ignorance or whatever, coma or something. But still at some point, but at some point again our consciousness is surfacing and we are there again. Or we sleep in the night and we may be in deep sleep, but then at some point we're again coming to consciousness and we know who we are, relatively speaking. So a little bit in a similar way. By the mercy of the sadhus and by the mercy of Yadbharat, King Rahugana is being kind of awakened to the reality. This body and this you identified as a king and you got puffed up, proud, arrogant. You know, this is not your real identity. This was a dream. It was not an ultimate reality. And here, your eternal servant to Krishna, your eternal servant, eternal conscious being. So then the king says, thank you. Now, to be awakened out of the dream or shown your defects may not be very pleasant. Who wants to hear the truth about yourself? Okay, the ultimate truth, yes, your eternal servant of Krishna, that's okay, we're getting used to that. But for the karmis, what, I'm a servant of God, I want to be God, I want to enjoy. You mean I'm not the enjoyer? But you're not the ultimate enjoyer. So actually, to be awakened to the truth can be a little bit painful. Maybe we're having a nice dream. Well, sometimes dreams are nice and sometimes they are horror. So sometimes the life is nice. Oh, I have so nice wife, husband, whatever, kids. And then other times it turns a horror. Oh, my husband left me, my wife left me, the kids turn out drug addicts. I don't know what more possible can happen. And the sweet dream turns a horror. So this is things going on in this world. Okay. So then we wake up out of the dream. Yes, I'm eternal servant to Krishna. I'm eternal spirit soul, eternally a personality, person who is meant to serve the Lord. Okay, so being awakened is not always so pleasant, but it's healthy. That's what's healthy. Okay, that's what's good. The healthy, I say, what's my diet? So they ask for my diet. I say, well, I want the prasadam, and then I want, I like it should be healthy and tasty. Okay. Healthy, and it can be tasty also, very good. But sometimes I don't really taste so much. I don't care so too much how much it tastes, but rather I'm more concerned that it's being healthy, because if it's healthy, then I can chant my rounds better, okay? Very practical point. Okay, so but the point is that so that's what's healthy. It may or may not be so tasty or attractive in one sense, but actually it has a different beauty and it has a different taste. So here's the point. There was one man, one kind of professor of psychology. Okay, he's a professor of psychology. He's in Maya, okay? he's in Maya. He thinks we're just his brains. But it's quite interesting, the analysis of our traumatic part, our surviving part, and our healthy part. So it says, we have like all a traumatic part that's not, just to take birth is a trauma. You know, and what happens is some kind of split, and you have one like surviving part, and you say, no, I'm okay, I'm okay, you know. Well, it's a little bit like my tooth is. I'm okay, but you know, I don't want any cold water in my mouth. So I want to trying to avoid that what gives me pain. So we avoid situation that gives us pain. So then we can say it's a surviving part. And then, but then we still, there's still something healthy in the soul or in the mind or whatever that, you know, I don't really feel well. So the healing comes from the healthy part. From the surviving, you know, make-believe self doesn't save you. Now I'm, so we can also take it in the material world, but also into the spiritual world. Now I'm okay. I'm okay, devotee. I'm looking good. I put on my tilak. But this may be external things. That is, we are hiding behind. So then the, actually, I took, when he spoke about this, I took a little bit, I got it connected it to tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun. Because in tamagun, oh, I'm happy. It's not a very nice state. Rajagun, we're getting, whatever, looking, performing. And yesterday we looked, also in Brussels, where this art museum we visited. Fantastic art. some points it gets some good point in the old times. What hell and heaven, and you know. Suddenly I bought a postcard for my mother, and I realized I can't really send this postcard. She's 98 years old, and it was four realities of life. Death, no, it was a, well, no, four realities of life. Death, judgment, hell, and heaven. It's like, you know, reality of life, there's death. Judgment, I don't know, something. We go to hell or heaven. In any case, but it looks all very nice. But as far as I understood, this is very much a manifestation of passion. I'm passionate, you know. But then in the goodness, you don't really care for external appearances like that. But their clarity, their sanity, there's a happiness of a different kind. Your happiness that doesn't depend on external circumstances. You see things as they are. And that in the 13th chapter, Bhagavad Gita says, one who sees things as they are, one who sees the soul along with the super soul, actually sees. So in that way, the point there was, that is from sattva-gun. Actually, to make progress, we have to activate our sattva-gun, okay, in spiritual life. From a tamasic point, oh, it's so difficult, I can't do anything. What can I do? You know, it's my senses, my desires, or poor me, temple president doesn't like me, or I don't know, or something, my husband. Well, you're helpless, lamenting, or then maybe I'm going to give back, you know, and being nasty. So that is tamagun, and it's not progressive for spiritual life. Then, of course, rajagun, we say we may want to perform and impress the others, and we may get a recognition like that, but we may still not have actually conquered the real enemies within. Because we are conditioned souls. And here's about being diseased. We sometimes speak about ISKCON as being a hospital. So the point is, we are not coming here because we're healthy. We're coming here because we are sick. But we're healthy enough to understand that we are sick, and that's good. But we don't need to pretend that we are healthy. Well, on the other hand, you don't need to pretend that you don't have to walk around and, you know, contaminate everyone in one sense. But we should be clear about that we're here doesn't mean that, okay, you're clear about it. On a deeper level, we're all clear about it. But we want to look good. So there, that's a challenge. We are in a hospital, okay? And it's not so easy. But we should understand, yes, we have these conditions, but we want to get well. So then, a little bit like yin and yang, I mean, the three modes of material nature. It's not that someone is just ignorant, or just passionate, or just in goodness. Well, if you're just in goodness, then a Sudha Sattva, and then you're in the spiritual world. Then you're a pure devotee of the purest pure. Then has Nasta Plesha Badrishu Nityam Bhagavate Sevaya, and then it says, you know, but still there remains a small fragment of something. So we having this body and this setup, but there's still some fragment of ignorance also. So there's a setup. But then we should understand that we can, because as stated, someplace Prabhupada said, someplace it says, you know, Sattva Gun, you know, we should just transcend them. We can become situated in pure devotional service, but in some place he also says that the duty of the guru is to bring the disciple first of all to the mode of goodness, and then from the mode of goodness you can easily transcend. So my point here is to get healthy. Well, there is something healthy in all of us here, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. And basically something that rings a bell or something that I'm not okay, we can say that's healthy. And then from that health, from the healthy point, we can cure the sick point. But we can't really cure the sickness with another sickness. So therefore we have to become healthy. Sober, yes. I'm not this body, but I have this body and I have this mind, and it's a crazy mind, and you know, but let's chant japa and be happy and whatever. Whether you're happy or not, keep chanting, okay? This is tough. Are you happy, Prabhu? The Christians used to come out on the street when I was a young boy distributing the books. Are you happy? Oh. I was there struggling and fighting with my mind. They're asking, are you happy? So therefore, join the monkeys. They want you to become a Christian, okay? Okay, so whether we're happy or not, doesn't matter. We keep going, doing what we want, because we want to be healthy. And to be become healthy, may not be so happy or easy process, if you say like that. You have to take the medicine, and you have to follow the diet, and you have to follow the directions of the physicians. And it may not be so easy. So this, our medicine is a chanting the holy name. And hearing the holy name, hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, engaging in devotional service. That is our medicine. And then the associating with the devotees, and that's very helpful, because if you're sitting alone in our ashram or in our flat or somewhere, you know, we can think, oh, I'm so great, or, you know, my worship is going so nicely. But when you have to serve together with other devotees, serving the Lord or serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, that's a challenge. Then the ego is being tested, or our true qualities is being sort of tested. So therefore, to be in the association of devotees are a blessing, and even if they're not the greatest devotees, still the devotees, there's four regulative principles, you know, they're serving prasadam, it's okay, and like that. So that's it's a good thing to be with the devotees in association, serving together in one way or another. And maybe we don't have to be too crowded together, but there should be association. And that's healthy. So that, we can say, is our medicine. Okay, so King Rahugana got the association of Yad Bharat by the will of the Lord. It was a blessing, and then he realized, I'm in illusion. And from that point of view, realizing his illusion, then he can do something about it and actually progress in his spiritual life. Okay, so any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Anger.
Now I should be angry with someone else.
There's no opportunity. You say there's no such opportunity. I remember getting something about anger just recently, and I realized that I couldn't really answer it. Because on one hand, anger is not a good quality. Another, I mean, the challenge is one thing. There is these things, lust, anger, and greed. And, you know, it should have its proper place. Maybe lust within the married life or something, anger, greed, you know, be greedy for, well, we want to have nice things for Krishna, and, you know, anger, well, you know, healthy anger, or, I mean, I just remember what Dhruva Maharaj being angry at the Yakshas, you know, they killed his brother, and he got so angry, and, you know, he went on, and then it even became, you know, he just fought them and was about to kill them all. So there had to be divine or higher interference of the whole thing, because it wasn't good. But the point there was that as soon as then, if it was Lord Brahma and the other came there, there's a please, you know, you have, yes, you're angry, but you know, no peace, cool down. And then he could catch himself and, you know, say, okay, now, you know. And Lord Brahma also sometimes had something going on with his daughter there, and then their sons told him, and then he kind of catch himself and could withdraw it. So in that way, it seems like the quality of anger can manifest, but we should be able to withdraw it. Because also, if you're, I think if you're temple president, I don't know, angry, but in any case, you know, why are you doing like this? I mean, if something is not proper, then we may also be angry, or, you know, hey, what's going on? So there can be a proper use of the anger. So the quality of anger there, but we say, if you're a little bit refined, then we're able to control the anger and properly use it. But if the anger just explodes and, you know, you beat up people or devotees or something, then that's not good. Because that's also anger for a purpose. I mean, Prabhupada also sometimes got angry. I mean, that was that in the Amsterdam there when they opened the temple? I mean, that story was, you know, I wasn't there. You hear about, he got so angry because, what are you doing? You know, what is nonsense? You know, you want to have installation of the deities, nothing is ready, and you know what you're doing, you know. He got angry, so there is some place for anger. But it has to be rectified or purified. So then we should be able to. And then as a story, I was told there was some kind of hippie back there saying, "Well, I thought, you know, one shouldn't be angry or something. You should just chant japa, not chant japa or something." Bro, but actually, as I heard it, kind of okay, took the japa piece and chanted. You know? That's quite amazing, you know. I mean, that's it. Then maybe some bhakta comes to say, "Oh, Prabhu, you're all devotee. I thought you shouldn't be angry." Okay, you know. So that's interesting. So the qualities are there, and we can't deny them. Then, and we can't become near visesa sunyavadi. That's not our philosophy. But the philosophy is to purify and rectify. Well, the Lord became angry in the form of Nrisingadev. He's angry. Angry manifestation. So there is some place for anger in that sense. But we shouldn't go overhead. Maybe the different things come in place, and then three modes of material nature being, in one sense, someone said, I'm not quite sure about what sattva-gun actually means. Oh, that's sattva-gun. Pitta-kappa, was it? Vata. When these things are balanced, then someone said, then that's actually sattva-gun. So when things are like in a balance, we knowing that we are not this, knowing that you're not that, still observing that it's there. Okay. And that's a challenge, to have a little bit distance to yourself. So if they make fun of you, of your dialect, your language, your notes or hair, I don't know what, dress, then you know, okay. Yes, I'm not this. It's there, but it's not me. And thus we don't need to get offended and terribly, you know, upset. And then be able to use the different qualities in the service of the Lord properly and thus become purified. And then, of course, angry with ourselves, that is also, well, why did I do like that? Because then you can go to the deities and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And someone said, you can also put in, I love you. You know, there's an element of acknowledging the fact is there. And then maybe the devotee, of course, you get angry on the devotee. Then you can say, well, actually I like you, but I don't like this. And he can say, please, I'm sorry, but you know, I got angry on you. So in some way, there are some ways of dealing with it. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any more question or comment? It's 8:45. The ladies should have a question also. Yes, very good. Yeah, of course, it's the pure devotees are. It seems like them when they become a pure devotee, they're fully aware of their shortcomings, and thus they become very humble. At the same time, low self-esteem. Well, upon being humble, yes, I'm not a pure devotee, but you know, we're going to serve Krishna together. And that if our lamentation, then again, if we're lamenting, and that breaks the ignorance. We're lamenting about bad qualities, and thus I can't serve the Lord. And if that becomes a hindrance in our service, or you won't say in a way blocking us, then we're just stuck in the mud of lamentation. Because there's the different levels of lamentation. There may be times and places where it's appreciate or appropriate as anger. But I would say when you're aware of your shortcomings and you're aware of your conditioning, but still a healthy part is, but I want to serve Krishna. Yes, I am this fallen, lusty, I don't know what. But or angry and you know greedy or envious. I'm envious like anything. In any case, that subtle. But then yes, okay, that's me. But now let's serve the Lord. Let's listen to the Bhagavatam. Let's you know chant my japa. Let's you know reciprocate with the devotees to my best capacities. Then that's not a hindrance. But if it becomes a hindrance, oh, I can't do anything. I can't be with the devotees. Maybe I better go home to my parents, watch TV. And something. Then low self-esteem, of course, that's maybe another chapter. Okay, so we should be aware. We can be aware, but also be aware that we are servant to Krishna. And Krishna is very kind. For him, you know, he can just flip his finger and it's all taken away. But then why is it not taken away? But there's some reason. Some things I remember, good things you do mostly you forget, bad things you do you remember. That's very good. Then you can repent, I'm sorry, or try to correct, or maybe I offended someone, could I in some way, you know, correct it. I will remember the bad things, and that's good. Sometimes you maybe forget it, but that's Krishna. Well, Krishna is in your heart, okay, don't worry. And we can pray to him, please purify me. Okay, the time is over. Thank you for inviting me to give lecture here today. And see you more. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.